Good evening, squirrel and teenies.
Corona squirrels.
Corona squirrels, quarantinis.
I don't know if anybody's noticed, but I edited the squirrelicorn on the show logo.
I noticed. I thought it was cute.
The plague mask. Nice. Well played, Alan. I have taken to, and I'm not making this up, going out with a cowboy hat and a full bandana on. You know, because let's face it, we're just cosplaying at this point. That's all we're doing.
You know,
okay,
what?
Okay, buckaroo.
Every year at the Renaissance Fair, I see several shops selling those, you know, those plague masks. And I always kind of think in the back of my head, that'd be kind of cool to have. But I never got one. And God damn, I wish I had one now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now you do.
That's what you could wear to the grocery store.
There you go. You want a wide berth? You want people to not stop in front of you? Put on a plague mask.
But you have to have like the herbs and incense stuffed into it too.
Well, of course. How else will you stay safe?
To be totally right. Effective.
You have to keep the vapors away. Come on.
Right.
Oh gosh.
I do want to point out that, you know, one of the features of the I've become a Trump press conference junkie. and I've said this before, mostly it's because I enjoy watching him beat up on reporters that ask stupid questions. But one of the features, this is one of the reoccurring themes, is the, you know, the timeline, because the reporters they're always ragging on him, you know, like, you know, you could have done something sooner. And he's always like, you know, I shut off travel to China in January. We alerted the CDC, blah, blah, blah. All this basically is all this stuff that happened. And he's like, and we had no cases on this date. And we had no cases on this date. And you know, on this date, sometime in February, we had two cases. You know, it's like, yep. You know, it's like, when did you want to crater the economy? You know, sooner?
Yeah.
When everybody was saying I was such
a
racist.
Trump.
Right. So I went back in the spirit of that, and I went back and I looked at when, you know, the first time we mentioned coronavirus was on our post hiatus show, the first one. That was, I think it was February 13th.
And everybody knows that we are on top of the news.
That's it.
We were talking about it. February 13th, and we were talking about what a problem it was going to be and how masks were sold out at Amazon and, you know, all that kind of stuff. If you had been listening and paying attention.
Yep.
To the squirrel report.
Yep. And that was a full 2 months ago.
Right.
Which, you know, because it's one of those things that drives me fucking apeshit when people are like, there's been 30,000 American deaths in just 1 month. I'm like, no, there haven't. Back the fucking truck up.
What? No.
Oh, yeah. No, because it's, you know, this is why we had to quarantine, because you killed 30,000 people in a month and blah, blah, blah. No, the first recorded case was mid-January.
Are they saying 30,000 like around the world or like?
No, in the U.S.
In the U.S., yeah.
Yeah, well.
But that's current. And also, again, let's point out that we have incentivized coronavirus deaths. There is a premium, a 15% premium for deaths caused by coronavirus over anything else. So what you subsidize, you endorse.
Right.
Yeah, so hospitals are presuming. In fact, they have in the U.S., and actually a lot of countries do this. The U.S. isn't the only one, but I think we're probably overstating our coronavirus deaths, because they count if you have massive heart failure and coronavirus.
Right.
They list it as if you have a stroke and coronavirus. If you die of something, and they don't even if you die, they don't test corpses for the virus.
No, they don't.
So if you die, a lot of times they just assume you had it.
Oops.
Based on symptoms or?
Based on you get 15% more if it's a coronavirus.
Yeah. Which, again, what evidence in all of human, you know, recorded human history indicates that we wouldn't fudge the numbers under the circumstances.
Yeah.
You've got a very flu-like thing, and you get more money if you report it as this particular thing than if you report it as anything else.
Right. And they've stood up at the press conference. The doctor, what's her name? The rock star, Dr. Birx.
Birx.
She flat out stood up and said it on the conference that they're, you know, the rule is if, you know, the, no matter what you die of, if coronavirus is there right. or suspected, they mark well, it right. down as a coronavirus death.
Right. And the only reason it matters, you know, there's been a graph going around the past couple of days where it shows, you know, there's one suspected cases and it's this, you know, basically a straight line going straight up. And then there's the curve that shows it going up a little bit and then back down. And then there's this very dismissive end cap that says, this is where people say, see, it wasn't as bad as we told you. And I'm like, the big problem is you don't know if it's that giant sharp uptick or if it's a curve very similar to the one that's already there, but just a little higher. If you did nothing, it's the problem. You don't know. Yeah,
there's no way to ever know. I mean, this is not something we can test the, you know,
exactly
the counterfactual. We can't know.
And we've bet 22 million fucking jobs on that curve.
Yeah. And, you know, I think clearly in a lot of cases, states went way overboard. I'm looking at you, Michigan.
Virginia
went insane.
Ooh, I mean, it's June like 10th. I'm like,
you know, it's one thing. It's one thing to mandate social distancing. I'm okay with that. Close schools. You know,
I prefer social distancing. Thank you very much.
I mean, that's easy to do. You know, stay away from people. I mean, this is simple stuff.
Right. And this is stuff that is good in flu season regardless.
Yeah, it's good all year round. Stay home if you're sick.
Yes. Yes.
You know, if you, you know, wear a mask if you want to. If, you know, it's probably a good idea, especially, you know, you know, even in flu season, it's probably a good idea. You know, they do it in Japan and Korea all the time. Stay home, be careful, clean shit, wash your hands. I mean, avoid, you know, I'm okay with, you know, canceling rock concerts and canceling stuff that packs sweaty humanity in.
Right. Right.
Shoulder to shoulder where they're screaming and yelling on top of each other. I mean, just imagine, you know, your average NFL football game, you know, full right. of people. Anyway. But some people have gone overboard.
But yeah, you know, the whole, I mean, there's people who are like, you know, we may not be able to start the school year next year. I'm like, are you fucking insane? You're telling me that in late August, early September, this is going to be a thing? Have you not studied every fucking virus ever in the recorded human history? There's a reason there's a season. They don't survive in hot weather. You know, the transmission does not occur.
Wait a minute. Who is saying that there might be... Is this like the teachers union? Because you know how they love to have days off and still get paid, right? You know.
Well, just more of an in general thing that just stuff I've seen kicked around. You know, the local Facebook page.
You know, a lot of kids are doing a lot better in homeschool than they are in school.
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole thing. You keep seeing this meme going around that, ooh, teachers are going to be able to ask for hundreds of thousands of dollars. You're like, or they're going to be out of a job.
Yeah.
I bet because by the time next spring or next fall rolls around, the teachers will be going to be clamoring to have school open.
Yeah. Yep.
Because, you know.
Oh, and just, you know, this, we shouldn't come out from quarantine until there's a vaccine. I'm like,
what?
What? Yep. That is an honest to God belief in some circles that until we have a vaccine for the coronavirus, we shouldn't come off of quarantine. Oh, okay, we'll just stop doing anything forever. We'll just all stay in our homes and magically get food and magically keep the fucking lights on through magic. And this fucking $2,000 a month the Democrats want to shovel from fucking the money printer.
I'd like to see a Venn diagram of the this, people that you know.
Oh,
need to wait on a
no,
vaccine.
We could just print more money because that has never been a problem in all of human history. When the government says, "Well, just make more money," it's not based on anything. But what the fuck? We'll turn the $1 bill into a $100 bill. There you go. You're a millionaire. Weimar Germany? What's that? Venezuela? What's that?
I bet a lot of the people that think we should wait on a vaccine, I wonder how many of them are anti-vaxxers. You know? Oh, we have to wait on a vaccine. We're, you know, what was 2 months ago, were they an anti-vaxxer? Suddenly you like vaccines.
Yeah, all of a sudden vaccines are back in vogue again.
Yeah. So I'm seeing a lot of things that that YouTube has exploded with I guess what is it, coronacation boredom videos.
Kind of like the coexist stickers are going to disappear after this.
Yeah, it's and now they're saying that there's a credible, you know, like we, you know, everybody already knew there's credible evidence that the thing started in that viral research lab and Wuhan. They're investigating the shit out of that. So
or ignoring it.
The Wuhan lab thing is interesting to me because what, a month ago, I mean, everybody knew it.
Yeah.
It was, I keep comparing it to a YouTube video called Benghazi. Is the same as somebody eating bat soup caused the Wuhan virus.
Right.
I mean, it was just completely a made up thing. And what, a month ago, the concept that somehow this virus was created in a lab and it escaped and China covered it up and it was like, you know, it originated in this lab and it's man-made. And a month ago, this was a racist conspiracy theory.
Yep. Twitter was canceling people's accounts for saying that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, here we are.
Do you know what I like the most about that whole thing? Is the people that were dismissing it because, well, if this was a biological weapon, it's the worst biological weapon ever because it doesn't kill as many people, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, are you looking at what the fuck it's doing to the United States economy?
Right.
Are you paying attention at all? Because this has ground us to a fucking halt. It has shuttered businesses. It has kept people in their homes. It has stopped the American fucking engine. This is the perfect fucking weapon. Because it required, all it required was a minimal disease. And I hate saying that because I really don't want to minimize it. This is serious. It is a serious thing. All accounts I've read of people that have gotten it is it's no fun, and it can be fatal. It can kill people very easily, but it's not the killer pandemic of Hollywood proportions where everyone who gets it drops dead in a very dramatic fashion immediately.
It's not the Andromeda strain.
Yes, thank you, Alan. Thank you. That it's relatively, you know, upper 90% of everyone who gets, I think 96% was the number I saw, recover. That unless you are elderly or immunocompromised or both, in a lot of cases, you can recover.
Or obese. Obese.
That's the compromise, yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, that again, I'll reiterate, The reason that it's so shocking to hear, hey, a 30-year-old healthy person died of this is because it's so rare.
Right.
But it still brought us to a fucking halt. We ground to a halt. We stopped doing things that Americans do.
Well, you know, the other thing of that is they complain that you know, I am not convinced that this was an intentional release.
However, I'm not either.
Yeah. If it was, it would not be the first time the communists killed a shitload of their own citizens.
What are you talking about, Alan? According to the WHO, only like 4,000 Chinese died from this.
Yeah. If you believe that.
I do find it hysterical when anyone includes China on the official numbers of coronavirus anything. It's like, guys, just stop. Stop right there. Why, yes, there's only been 80,000 cases in China, a nation of what, 1.3 billion people, where they are, for the most part, packed into cities like sardines. And yeah, they had fewer cases than, oh, I don't know, Sweden. The interesting thing are places like Japan and Taiwan, which I guess aren't terribly curious because they are islands. So egress and ingress are tightly controlled, which gets us back to another point of some serious contention, which is how long have leftists been calling Trump racist over his wanting to build a wall to keep out unfettered illegal immigration? And all of a sudden, it's been proven that, guess what? Preventing people from coming into your country unsupervised saves lives in the long run from coronavirus.
Or anything else. So,
exactly. We've got, on the one hand, look at these countries that have closed their borders and have seen success in minimizing coronavirus deaths versus Trump is a horrible, horrible Nazi racist because he wants to stop illegal aliens from crossing the border.
Well, you know, even back in like the 1800s, when, you know, immigrants were coming in through Ellis Island and stuff, they had doctors that would inspect people. And if you had a communicable disease, you got put in quarantine and they didn't let you in. And when you have illegal border crossings, you know, you should see the health statistics of the people that come across the borders illegally. You know, they got all kinds of problems. They got, you know, they got tuberculosis. They got all kinds of stuff wrong with them. And, you know, they just come right on in and, you know, you got to have, if you don't control your borders, you're not a country. Ask Rome.
You're an area.
Yeah. So I wanted to change gears a little bit. Mostly because I'm sick and tired of talking about Corona stuff.
Okay.
A friend of ours has started, it's actually a radio show, but it's also a podcast. And I'm not going to name any names. But if you were to go, I'll put a link on the show page on the thing, but righthouseradio.com, righthouseradio.com. You might hear a voice you're familiar with. And they don't use Skype. They do it like in a real studio.
That's crazy talk, y'all.
I know. It actually sounds really good. I'll just do a shout out for them. RightHouseRadio.com.
RightHouseRadio. All right.
Yep. The person you will have heard on this show before is using a pseudonym on that show, which is why I'm not naming names. You will recognize the voice. It's pretty good.
Jay, your beard.
I know. And besides, what the hell else are you going to do while you're stuck in the house?
You know, I wanted to ask a question because I am pretty much, I'm stuck in the house. Like, you know, the library's closed. We don't know when it's going to reopen. So basically I'm kind of doing minimal library work that I can do from home, which is not much really. And then I have the rest of the day to fill my time. And I was wondering, are either of you doing things that kind of like are different, cooking differently? Are you experiment? Are you making bread at home? Are you? I'm trying to teach myself how to sew. Which, let me tell you what, is not easy. You think like taking apart a gun and putting it back together is hard? Oh my God, sewing machines.
Right.
Like for the longest time, my sewing machine kept on, like, I would put the fabric through and try to sew. And then all of a sudden, like, I'd get a tangled mess of threads and it was jamming up my machine. And it was like this whole big disaster. And I was like, what is happening? And just on a fluke, YouTube showed me a video. And in the little thumbnail of the video on YouTube, it looked exactly like my thread disaster that I was getting from my sewing machine. And it turned out, listen to this, I had the spool of thread on the wrong way. Like, all I had to do was literally turn the fucking spool of thread around.
This, folks.
Yeah. What?
We have an explicit tag.
Are you new to me? Because I say that word a lot.
I know.
But, like, nobody taught me that. So anyway, this is what I've been doing with my time, learning how to sew. Are you guys doing anything? Or are you still, you guys are pretty much still working, right?
Yeah.
Is your family doing anything new? You know.
But interestingly enough, my wife is sewing. So we have been, you know, when you start talking about the ungodly messes of thread and whatnot, we've been dealing with that, which,
turn the spool around.
Turn the spool around. I will mention
the thread has to be on the backside.
This is like a toilet paper over-under thing, and apparently the direction of the thread
it makes
matters.
A difference. It makes a huge difference.
Interesting.
Is she sewing masks?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
It's very funny because before we moved down here, we had like 4 sewing machines. I'm not kidding. We had, because, you know, my wife has always been very crafty and loves that sort of stuff. And it was like the repository. People were like, hey, I've got a sewing machine. I don't use it anymore. Do you want it? We'd be like, sure, we got plenty of room. Not a problem. Until there were literally like 5 sewing machines in our attic. You know, and 2 of them were in like the full big, honest to God, you know, little like desk looking thing. Wow. Where you like, you flipped a bunch of stuff like a transformer and all of a sudden, poof, there was a sewing machine.
Yes.
Brina knows what I'm talking about. Yeah. You know, yeah. We had like 3 of those. I'm not making this up. And when we moved, it was like, okay, I only need 1 sewing machine. We're going to keep them. Best one, the top of the line Singer. This thing is the friggin' Rolls Royce of sewing machines. Dun, 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 dun. The rest of them got sold at you know, we had yard sales and whatnot, and they were given to people. Here, have a sewing machine. Why? Have a sewing machine. I just stopped by to say hello. Here, sewing machine. And so we kept the one, moved it down here, and she started sewing masks, and the fucking thing broke. She's like, you're kidding me. You're shitting me. We had all these sewing machines. We could have been putting out parachutes, for Christ's sake, when we were up in Massachusetts with all the sewing machines. And the one we kept, the best one, and this was, you know, by all objective standards, this was the Rolls Royce friggin', you know, not best thing going, the, you know, top of the line, blah, 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 blah. No, die. Thank you. So we've been like trying to, troubleshoot it where we can. And there's like a little mini backup emergency pocket sewing machine we've been using to kind of get through. But it's just, it's one of those, Alanis Morissette, this is ironic. You know, when you go from having four sewing machines to one that breaks, that's irony. Especially when it's when you need, she wants to sew masks for her coworkers, for, you know, for us, for this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, yeah, I'm wrapping a bandana around my face. I'm like, yep, I'm going out like Billy the Kid. Thank you. I do regret not having a Smith & Wesson Schofield. I will say that.
There you go.
I do have a lever action rifle, though. So
my grandmother had one of those foot treadle sewing machines.
Oh, yeah.
I remember playing with that when I was a kid. I don't know what happened to that. Old school.
Yep. The with the wrought iron and the
it had a flywheel and a foot thing. You'd have to work the foot pedal to make it go.
That's right. I like the old. I'm sorry.
No, I was just. Go ahead.
Oh, it was the sewing machine equivalent of the manual typewriter.
Yeah.
Remember the actual honest to God manual typewriter where you had to push the key down to send a little. The corresponding letters to stamp the paper.
That's what I learned to type on. Chunk, chunk.
None of this electric bullshit. And it ain't that daisy wheel goddamn nonsense.
I took a typing class in junior high. That's chunk. What we had.
Yep, you had the electric ones where you could push the button and it would go up on its, because of the power. Or you had the manual one, which you could take anywhere. But you had to impart about 7,000 kilojoules of force to each key. You were like hammering it with a 3-pound sledge. X, R, A, X-ray.
I bet those old school secretaries had an awesome grip.
The kung fu death grip. You're like,
I bet they did.
I remember we had one of the old IBMs with the individual keys, and if you got going too fast, they would just clunk together.
Yeah, they snarl.
You'd be like, clunk! Oh shit! You got to pick them apart. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, all the millennials are going, "What? What? Like, no, my printer just goes across." It's just, they don't even know what a fan fold printer is, Alan.
Oh, I know.
They don't even have the memories of. Everyone over 40 just cringed, reflexively cringed.
Yep.
That noise and the dial-up modem noise. It sounded like a robot being fed into a shredder. And everyone over the age of about 25 immediately knew that sound. Everyone under the age of 25 was like, huh? Oh, you mean the save icon used to be something?
Oh God! I'm sure we still have some of those in a desk drawer somewhere in the library.
I like the
actual discs.
I like the meme that was like some millennial finds plastic floppy disk and said, "Oh look, somebody 3D printed a save icon."
3D printed a save icon. Yes. It was another
thing that people are doing in quarantine is baking bread.
Hmm.
That's like the thing, like to learn how to bake bread. And people are doing this so much that stores are out of yeast.
Huh.
Wow.
Right. But so then that creates like people are freaking out. They're like, I can't find any yeast. What do I do? How do I bake bread without yeast? Yeast is literally everywhere.
Yeah, just leave your shit out on the kitchen counter. It'll get yeast.
Yeah, just mix some flour and some water and leave it on your counter, and trust me, you'll get yeast.
you will have more geese than you know what to do with.
Yeah, it's everywhere. But it's just funny. It's kind of like, yeah. I didn't know to turn the spool around. And people who are learning how to bake don't realize that there is yeast just freely available. You don't have to buy yeast at the store.
That's funny. Yeah, see, we...
That's good. I guess people are learning new stuff.
Exactly. They're learning new things. I keep thinking myself I should dust off my single stage press and start making ammo. And then I'm like, I'm far too lazy for that. So...
Yeah, I have a single stage press too, and I really got it just like in case.
Yeah, and I figured, oh my god, Bob.
You know, because you never know. I mean,
the boogaloo.
Biden might get elected.
No. Oh come on.
You know. Oh Joe.
It could happen. They could cheat enough.
No.
Believe all women except Tara Reid.
They could cheat enough. Fuck her. But, you know, but I got it because I figured, you know, because if you were like seriously, because I look at those like the fancy progressive machines and all that kind of stuff that you could crank out like hundreds and hundreds of, you know, rounds an hour or something. And I'm looking at that going, man, that would break 2 seconds after I looked at it. You know, and I look at this big, sturdy cast iron single stage press. I'm like, that's the thing for me. And it doubles, and it doubles as a boat anchor if I need
it. If your house ever were to float away, you could wrap a chain around it and stop.
That's right.
Yeah, I have a Lee, Lee press. Same deal.
Yeah.
Same deal. That's like.
Yeah, the old school Lee single stage press.
I keep thinking to myself, someday I'm going to set it up and I'm going to craft super accurate 308 and 300 Win Mag, and I'm going to handcraft within a single grain of powder, and I'm going to do. And it just sits there collecting dust, laughing at me. Every time I walk into the gun room, it's like, motherfucker, you ain't making shit. I'm like, shut up, you're right.
You got a case of primer sitting there, too?
Yep, yep. I have tumbling media to clean my brass, and I've got powder.
Got all that.
It's all just sitting there mocking me. It's going, yeah, you lazy motherfucker. And I'm like, shut
up. Well, you're
going
to retire someday, right?
Someday I will have time. But, yeah. Yeah,
that's what you do when you know or you're tired and you get your 100 acres or whatever, and you set up your shooting bench on the back porch.
Yep.
And you set your press up right next to the shooting bench.
You load
one round and then you shoot it.
Yep.
And then you load another one and shoot it.
Exactly. You take very careful notes
to steal at the 1,000-yard range, you know.
26 grains of powder and it does this. 27 grains of powder and it does this.
Yep. They keep spreadsheets because
exactly, because that's how you chart. But yeah.
And you have to record, you know, temperature, humidity.
The phase of the moon.
All right. The position moon. Of Listen, the sun in the third. Sky. Wind direction.
There were several locusts lying around. That's all we're missing these days. You know, we've got a plague. We just need locusts. That's we're good. We're good. But yeah, yep. Eventually, we'll be allowed to leave our homes again, and we can venture out into public, blinking in the sun like moles. And we actually had a thing in our neighborhood earlier today. It was somebody on our street's 50th birthday, so they had a parade.
Oh, yeah.
There were all these cars driving through.
The car parades.
Yeah. And it's like, I get it. You know, these are the people that normally would have come to the big birthday party. And that's really neat. And I'm like,
they can't help themselves, man.
They can't.
I'm like, you know what I don't like is I can't. If I wanted to, I couldn't leave my driveway right now because my street is clogged up with cars.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. It was a trend here that school teachers were doing this.
Yeah.
School teachers were driving around honking at the houses where the kids lived. We miss you, you know, signs in their windows. I think they're real paranoid about the levee, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. School's been canceled for months now. Do I get a refund on my property taxes?
That's why the teachers will be clamoring to have school start as soon as possible. Because I guarantee you people are going to be starting to think about that. Hey, school's closed. Why am I having to pay all these damn taxes?
Yeah.
And you absolutely can't go to people and say, hey, we need to charge. We need to override the tax increase so we can fund the schools. People are going to be like,
fuck you.
How much money have you? Yeah, exactly. Now, I'm looking at this from through the prism of someone who lived in Massachusetts, where we've got what's called Prop 2.5, which basically says if you want to increase property taxes beyond 2.5% each year, you have to put it to a vote of the local municipality, you know, which would be, you know, for me, it was the little town I lived in. So if they wanted to raise money to, let's say, buy more public land, they would have to say, we need to increase your property taxes 3%, which is more than the 2.5%. So they'd have to put it to a vote, blah, 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 blah. Well, the number one thing was, if you don't agree to the override, we're going to have to lay off some teachers. Well, guess what's not going to work this year? Because people are going to be like, fuck it. You only worked 3 out of 4 fucking quarters. So lay them off. You don't need them. And they're going to be like, wait a minute. Hold on. Now, we didn't mean that. That's actually.
Yeah, of course, the downside of that also is that you know, they say you can't raise it more than 2.5%. What that means is that every damn year it goes up 2.5%. Yeah, at a minimum.
Yeah.
So, cause, you know.
Because they can.
Yeah, because they can.
Yep. Yeah.
So I got a letter from my insurance company. They're refunding me 20% of my premium.
Ooh, USAA.
I've heard a lot of other insurance companies are doing that too. Because
Geico's doing 15%.
Because so many people aren't driving that they're not getting in wrecks, and you know
they must be experiencing a windfall right now.
Oh yeah,
because nobody's driving, so the number of crashes has plummeted.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, is another thing. Okay, what's the decrease in car wreck? Everyone's like, oh my god, 30,000 Americans have died from coronavirus. Oh my god, how many people have not died from car wrecks?
And how many people have not died from doctors because they weren't in the hospital and other things done?
Yeah. You know, see, Alan and I were talking about this earlier this week. Out of sheer curiosity, I researched what the average number of people who died from diabetes. You know, Wilford Brimley diabetes, ha, ha, ha. It's 80,000 people a year. It's perspective. Wow. It's 80, and diabetes is, this is according to the CDC. This is not just shit I'm pulling out of my ass. This is, honest to God, the seventh killer. Like, the seventh most people are killed by diabetes. There's heart disease and cancer and this and that and the other thing. And it's seven on the list of things that kill Americans. And it's 80,000 Americans a year. Again, I don't mean to make light of the deaths from coronavirus. What I'm pointing out is that if we're going to crash the economy into the ground on fire, why isn't it over, like Alan said, medical malpractice or heart disease or lung cancer or anything that kills a lot more people than the coronavirus has? You know, people are making a big deal about 30,000 people over, you know, the past month, 2 months, whatever you want to call it. They talk about that like, okay, let's say it's 2 months, just for shits and giggles. It's 2 months, 30,000 people over 2 months. People extrapolate that to mean, oh, that's 15,000 people a month. Well, that's a shitload of people a year, because we're going to keep losing 15,000 people a month, except that that's not how viruses work.
Right.
That they don't proliferate in the warmer months, because the vectors by which viruses spread do not survive well in warm temperatures. Well, that's also why there's a flu season.
They also don't spread outside.
Right.
So nobody gets an upper respiratory infection outside. It is almost impossible. That's why I'm so pissed off at them shutting parks and stuff like that. And closing the beaches, because nobody ever got an upper respiratory infection from anything outside. You get those from being indoors with other sick people.
Yep.
Because the virus, number one, the virus can't last a tenth of a second in sunlight. I mean, it gets fried instantaneously. But beyond that, the outdoor environment is really inhospitable to viruses. Now, bacteria is another thing. Lots of bacteria live outdoors, but viruses, that's why you see all these, like, a lot of times they'll like close a beach because of bacteria in the water.
Right. Red tide. Perfect example.
Right.
You know, it's like you don't collect shellfish during certain times because the proliferation of this red tide, the bacteria. But viruses, not so much. So you can't say, well, if this trend continues, it'll kill X number of people, because it won't. No virus in recorded history maintained a steady presence throughout the year. That's not how it works. That's why there's a flu season, which, if you look at the flu numbers, they have gone into absolute free fall. You know, much like the economy, they've cratered into the ground. Why is that? For the past decade or so, anywhere from, I think, a low of 12,000 to a high of 80,000 Americans die every year of the flu. This is something that we have a vaccine for, by the way, people. This year, I don't even know what the number is, but it's ridiculously low. Why? Because the symptoms mimic those of coronavirus, and we've incentivized reporting deaths as coronavirus. That's my little tinfoil hat conspiracy of the day. But when you say we're going to give you more money to help combat these coronavirus deaths, pretty soon everything starts looking like a coronavirus death.
Unless you're in China, where nobody dies of
it. Nobody. Dear leader says no one dies of coronavirus. Coronavirus has been 100% solved.
You know, I was talking to Mike earlier this week about my problem with the coronavirus. I want to preface this by the coronavirus is terrible by all accounts.
Right.
And I don't wish on anybody, but and I hope it's not as bad as they're saying, because it does sound legitimately terrible. However, the media has been hyping it and hyping it. And I mean, what have we been through? We've been through like media hyping different things, right? Global warming, the ozone layer,
acid rain.
Acid, everything else, right? Everything else that they kept, you know, oh, we're all going to die in 10 years and we're all still here and the world is.
Yep, the ice caps were melted by 2010.
Right. And so I'm just thinking, like, is the coronavirus like that? You know, is it not a real thing? I mean, it makes it hard for me to believe it's a real thing that is so huge that they're telling me it's so huge and the world's going to go to crazy and 300,000 people are going to die in Africa and blah, blah, blah. And, you know. Your 77-year-old mother walks outside and she's going to die of horrible lung disease. And, you know, I just feel like I don't know what to believe. And I think that's my big problem with this is we have been lied to over and over and over that I have this like sense of skepticism where, you know, we go out to the grocery store, we don't wear masks. And there are a lot of people in my area not wearing masks. They're like, meh. They look at the numbers of the people, you know, because Lake County, Ohio, we're tracking the numbers of people sick and tracking the numbers of people dead. And we're like, meh.
Yep.
Well,
and, I mean, and what do we believe, you know?
Look at New York.
Well, yes. New York.
Well, yeah.
Just bear with me for a second. Look at New York.
Mm-hmm.
They have 230,000 confirmed cases. These are, you know, people that they tested, they confirmed cases. 17,000 deaths. It sounds like a lot.
Yep.
It is a lot.
Yeah.
But what's the population?
It is, yeah.
But what's the population of New York?
Is the thing with the coronavirus, like, is it the speed in which this has all happened? Is it the speed of it? Like, it is, you know,
yeah,
2 months and we have thousands of people dead.
Yeah.
I think that might be part of it.
Yeah. That's a big part of it.
It is more transmittable. I don't know that the actual death rate is as bad as everyone keeps saying. I think.
Well, that's because we don't know how many people actually have it.
Exactly. You keep hearing that up to half the number of people have not, they're asymptomatic. So right. You have coronavirus, but you don't get sick. Well, if.
But you're passing it on.
Right, right.
And I think that's what's scaring people.
Right. You just don't know.
Yeah, but.
Right. But if.
Go ahead, Jay. Sorry.
Oh, just, you know, if that is honest to God the case, you can. So you stand a good likelihood of getting it and never even knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, there's no doubt that media panic has media has fanned the flames of panic over this. I mean, look at Italy. You know, they're talking. I mean, the news reports are full of how awful it is in Italy.
Oh, it's so bad that CBS stole the footage from Italian hospitals to say how things are bad, things are in New York.
But here's the thing. You know, they're talking about how the you know, this is so awful in Italy, and you know, people are dying like crazy, but. The same thing happened last year from the flu in Italy.
Yep.
Go back and look. Yep. They ran out of hospital beds last year's flu season in Italy. It's because Italy's healthcare system is about the worst in the world. There are African countries that have medical systems better than Italy.
So and I, as someone of Italian descent, I would like to argue with you, except I can't.
So, yeah, and then... You know, you look at New York, and the numbers coming out of New York are horrific.
Oh, God, yeah.
By any measure. But at the same time, you have to look at New York. New York, there is not another place in the U.S. like New York City. And,
right,
and,
but at the same time, they're not closing the subway.
Exactly.
Right. So how bad is it really?
Exactly. If it's not bad enough to close the subways, which is the number one transit, they did studies. The subways and public buses are like the number one disease vectors for this thing in New York.
Well,
everybody, if they didn't get it from going to big parties and stuff with their friends, they got it from riding the subway. And you just think about it, you know, if you've ever ridden a New York subway, I mean, they're disgusting to start with. And then, you know, people pack in on them and just, you know. Even when there's not a coronavirus, you don't want to go in there because it's gross. But just, you know, but you, then you get outside of New York, the rest of the United States, you subtract. So the deaths in the U.S. from this thing are, what are we looking at now?
30, don't start 000. Doing math on the show.
No, I'm just saying. So 20. Of the 30,000 deaths in the U.S., 20,000 are from the New York metropolitan area.
Yep.
So the rest of the country ain't doing so bad.
Right. Right. But they're saying that we should quarantine like the entire country was New York.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, it was it when I saw that they weren't closing the subway. It was like, then you're not serious.
Yeah, I know. That's why...
This is...
Yeah, that's when I threw up my hands and said, "Fuck New York."
Yep. This is, we are not serious.
Yeah, you're screaming about needing ventilators and running out of hospital beds and all this kind of stuff. Right. Yet you're not closing the subways.
Well, people need those to get to work. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck you. I need to get to work.
Yeah.
You know what? Why is New York special? Because it's New York.
Why can a New Yorker get into a crowded subway, but I can't get in my car and drive somewhere?
I can't get into my own car by myself and drive to my office building where I have my own office and do my fucking job.
Yeah.
And nobody's come up with, well, it's different because fuck you. You know, anything other than it's different because, you know, racist. I don't know.
Well,
but we're just, you know, yeah. And again, it's like, oh, you want grandma to die. You know, it's like, no, I want to be able to do my job. I want to be able to buy consumer goods. I want to be able to have the United States economy keep going.
I want to go back to being, I want to go back to staying home out of my own choice instead of being forced to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, we're starting to see the first grumblings, like Michigan.
Yeah. They're having protests.
Which I'm trying to figure out why Michigan is like the third most coronavirus deaths. Like, what the hell is going on in Michigan?
I can guess, but they'd call me a racist.
Right, right.
I know, I was about to say. Between the Muslim population and...
Yeah, that's just where I was.
But it just doesn't make sense. It's like, you know, okay, New York makes sense. And then, of course, you know, New Jersey. Well, New Jersey's basically New York's bitch. Right. So... that makes sense that the people that live in New Jersey but work in New York. Yeah.
New Jersey is New York's sleazy bedroom.
Yeah. But why, like, where does Michigan having, I think it was like the third highest death rate? Because it was like New York was like a zillion, and New Jersey was second, and then Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan. Well, you got New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts.
Yeah. Which again,
actually, Michigan's got a higher death rate, higher death count, not rate, but a higher raw death count than number. Yeah. I bet it has to do with the culture. I mean, we don't know what the demographics of the people that have been hardest hit by this are, but, you know, for instance, in New York, a lot of the early hospital, a lot of the early spread happened in the Orthodox Jewish community in Brooklyn, where they have large families. They have large get-togethers. There's lots of hugging and touching, and so they
like Italy,
right? Like Italy, and to a certain extent, like the Muslim population in Michigan. And then you take it down to New Orleans, where they had Mardi Gras, and suddenly a gazillion cases. So. Yep. You know, I mean,
and New York also had the big Chinatown celebration right as it was exploding.
Yep. Where the mayor and their chief infectious disease person said, "You can't catch this. It's irresponsible not to go to restaurants and party in the streets and all that kind of stuff.
Hug someone from China to prove you're not racist." Well, how'd that work out?
Wasn't AOC like very, very early on? She was like encouraging people to go to restaurants and in her district.
Yeah. Lick a bat to prove you're not racist.
Meanwhile, Ozzy Osbourne's like, I don't see the problem here. You see, kids, Ozzy Osbourne used to be, before he was a doddering old man, he used to be edgy. Yes.
Well, he acted edgy.
As it turns out, we just couldn't understand him.
Yeah. That's that reminds me of one of my favorite scenes in Wayne's World. where Garth and Wayne meet Alice Cooper.
Yes.
And they're like, dude, metal, blah. And Alice Cooper's just looking at him, and he starts like having these really erudite conversations with, you know, about intellectual things and stuff like that. And he goes, my stage is just an act.
Yep. That whole, yep. Oh, goodness.
Also, Ozzy Osbourne did not actually bite the head off a bat.
Actually.
It's a stage show, people. It's not real.
Oh,
kind of like wrestling.
Yeah.
I think our younger listeners are now like Googling, like, what are they talking about?
What on earth are they talking about? Wrestling.
The younger listeners, they shut us off.
It's very interesting that you bring up wrestling, Alan, and I'm sure you did it on purpose because of the news that, oh my God, Vince McMahon from the World Wrestling Entertainment is on Trump's Economic Advisory Council.
Yeah, wrestling's big business.
That is the only fucking name that the media has stated. Meanwhile, it's like, oh yeah, by the way, Mark Cuban and Jeff Bezos and all these leaders of industry are also on the same council.
Yeah, what's his name?
Oh my God,
the guy that owns the Cowboys. I mean, there's a ton of people that are on this thing. I mean, it'd be easier to name the people that aren't on it.
Uh-oh, Jay's coughing.
And we know one.
I got Jay. The coronavirus. Yep, that's it.
Oh,
I got
no.
Mitt Romney is not on it.
Mitt Romney. But yeah, but everyone zeroed in. Everyone twigged in on, oh my God, Vince McMahon. Well, that's because his wife was on his economic development, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, shut the fuck up. How about you got a guy who took the WWF when they were small enough that they weren't getting sued by the World Wildlife Federation, he took them from this regional little podunk shit with guys where they were wearing their fucking wives' bras on their heads and pretending to be wrestlers to a billion-dollar industry. But no, we don't want that guy's input on how to help the economy get better.
Well, because he's one for those vulgar flyover state people. You know?
Exactly. That's it. And instead, we can, you know, harumph, harumph, and hurt Trump by saying, oh, look at this idiot. He had this clown on his... It's the only fucking name. That's the thing that kills me, is the guy's got... The list is like 20, you know, several dozen people long of captains of industry, and Vince McMahon is the only name that they zero in. Literally the only name. Vince McMahon named Trump's advisor. Like he's the only person on this economic recovery team. The whole lies, damn lies, and statistics. You know, it's just it's never been more sharp how badly the media is in the tank for the Democratic Party. You know,
ever since Biden is the guy.
Well,
it's like it's ramped up.
Yep. Oh, just look at the New York Times and the tweet they put out that they had to immediately revoke, which was, we found no evidence of sexual improprieties except for all of the women who came forward and reported inappropriate touching.
Right.
How on earth you could with a...
It wasn't rape, right? Yeah, it wasn't rape.
This whole thing, like, we found no evidence other than all this evidence.
Yeah, and then they deleted that.
And they were like, oh shit, even we don't buy that.
Well, no, they deleted it because Biden campaign complained. And so
that wasn't good enough.
And so they got now they're like letting the Biden campaign vet their stories that they do. So,
well, why wouldn't they though? I mean, nobody comments about it. Nobody cares. Nobody's saying what the fuck.
I'm just happy Breida got to write in, got to vote for Bernie.
Bernie.
He was there on the ballot.
He was still on the ballot. I colored his little dot in.
Man, so. How'd you like to be a Bernie bro right now?
Well, it's very interesting you mention that because, you know, these were the same ones that they're ready for the revolution, man. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, show me. Show me you're ready. Come on, we'll wait. I'm perfectly willing to wait here until you show me just how badass you are, motherfucker. Oh, you're not. I didn't think so.
They forgot to wake up to vote, Jay. Come on, give him a break.
Yeah, you know, it's like...
But Bernie didn't even, you know, he didn't even, like, negotiate his endorsement of Biden. He didn't, like... You know, he wasn't like even AOC is like negotiating. She's like, I want this and this and this and, you know, all this kind of stuff for Bernie was like, oh, yeah, endorsed.
Yep.
Fuck you.
Well, I think one of my favorite memes was and you got to be a Game of Thrones fan to get this. But where you've got Joe Biden whispering in Bernie's ear, tell them your name. My name is Reek. I watched that. I was like, yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Well, you know, Bernie was not in it to win it. He wasn't.
Of course not.
No. He needed another house.
A new house. Yeah. It's not his thing. He just,
and all the Bernie boys got played, and they really thought he was serious. And Bernie's like, I've never held a fucking real job in my life. What makes you think I'm going to start now? Ooh, I was.
Well, he probably also needs the money to pay his wife's legal bills.
Well, you know, nobody's looking into that. You know, they managed to bankrupt an entire college, but nobody cares.
No, he's a Democrat.
He's the big champion of the people. You know, oh, look at me. I'm a big socialist. Ooh, yeah, to each according to their needs, except I want four houses. I need a summer home in addition to my two houses.
Well, you know, think about it. He's probably not going to be able to run again. I mean, he's old.
Yeah.
I mean, he's almost Ruth Bader Ginsburg old.
Who, by the way, is going to the gym every day, despite stay-at-home orders.
Her and
de Blasio. That's my favorite. Is de Blasio's going... like 11 miles
to
jog in a park in New York during their coronavirus lockdown.
Yep. Who was the one that there was some governor or somebody, some mayor that went out and got their hair cut when they wouldn't let anybody else do it? Who was that?
Oh, was that Cuomo?
No, it was a woman. It was, she got her hair done.
Apparently it may have been the Michigan lady.
There was one. Oh, the hell's her name? Dolores Umbridge, yeah. Which if you're not a Harry Potter fan, that went right.
Oh, Jay.
She is so Dolores Umbridge.
She is. You just said that, and I was picturing her face, and yeah, she is.
If she wore pink, she would be Dolores Umbridge. Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. There was... I don't remember where the location was, but it was the barbers went to the police station to give the cops a haircut.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And everyone was like, that's so nice. And it was like, except that, you know, you're perpetuating the only ones.
Right. And breaking the law and, you know, a whole bunch of
stuff. Yeah. But it's okay because, you know. Well, of course, I am getting a hilarious chuckle out of this. You know, and everyone's like, what am I going to do? My barbershop is closed. I'm like, fuck you, male pattern bald, this motherfucker. I'm like, been cutting my own hair since the Clinton administration.
I confess that I caved and I cut my own hair.
I'm like, I've been cutting my own hair since 1996.
I gave myself a trim around the edges.
Breida was still in grammar school.
No.
Yeah, I'm like, oh God.
Mike went to work one day and I cut my own hair. And I fucked up the back so bad. Oh. And I did it because he wouldn't do it for me. Because he was like, oh no, I'm not doing it.
He is a smart man.
Yeah, he's not dumb.
Because one day he went to work and I was like, never ever let him.
I know. Well, you know, I don't care. I'm not like one of those hair girls anyway. But like, I did it. I got his clippers out and I cut the back of it off and I fucked up the back of it so bad. It was like really crooked. And,
yeah, and the back.
He came home from work and I'm like, and I said, you're going to have to help me. And he's like, what did you do? It turned out fine. It looks fine. But after this is all over, I'm going to have to go to the salon and get a pixie cut again because there's no. There's no other place to go except pixie cut again. So, whatever.
Yep.
My barber
shop. I'm fine
shop
with it. It's okay.
My barber shop announced that they will. They thought they were going to be able to on the 24th, and then the state of Texas has deemed that shall not happen. So.
Oh no!
Now they're thinking maybe the 27th. So.
You'll be all right.
Yep.
We'll see.
Like I said, welcome to my world, motherfuckers.
I'm not shaving my head.
There's time.
I knew we'd hear time.
Good timing.
We waited long enough.
It's perfect timing.
That's the perfect timing. That's just, the signal for the end of the show. You know those.
That's right.
You know those game shows where they have the weird sound where it's like the time for the bonus lightning round or something. It's almost over. That's time.
Oh, Billy, you just said the magic word. Yep. You get to drink from the fire hose. I'm quoting Weird Al's UHF, and about five people got that reference.
I did not.
Yeah.
I would have been surprised. It's a wonderful, stupid movie. It's just, and it's it would be 100% lost on the modern populace. The whole concept of UHF. You mean there are different frequencies of over-the-air broadcasts?
That's the one that gave us Conan the Librarian and Spatula City.
See, I'm familiar with that.
Spatula City. That's right. And the turtle is nature's suction cup.
Oh, yeah. And the guy, we don't need no stinking badgers.
Badgers, yes. And the I believe it was the first cinematic debut of one Michael Richards, who would go on to be Cosmo Kramer.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. He was the janitor.
He Stanley Spadowski.
Yeah, that's right. Stanley Spadowski's Playhouse.
Yep. Oh my gosh, you found the marvel in the oatmeal. Yes.
Oh yeah, you definitely recommend watching that show.
Oh yeah, if you want a little glimpse into what a cocaine fueled nightmare the 1980s were, Weird Al Yankovic's UHF is the way to go.
Oh man! All right.
Am I wrong?
Nope.
Close on the cocaine fueled nightmare of the 1980s.
Nope. That was pretty much it. And since Tig has sang his song,
Tig has sang the song of his people. We've talked about the cocaine-filled nightmare in the 1980s. I think we're good. I think
we're good.
I think this score report is ready to be put to bed.
And you too.
Which is another, just a very quick side note, all of the people that are learning all these things about their significant others as they work from home. There's a robust culture in, I just learned that my significant other is one of those, let's circle back on that people.
Oh, no.
People are finding out all of these things. There's just thread upon thread. Go through like Facebook and Twitter and these just people finding out that I can't believe my significant other does this. It's rather humorous. Anyway, on that note, folks,
okay.
I think we have provided back. We have provided you with an hour and 10 minutes of wonderful free ice cream. And it's time to go pour another drab of bourbon. So
another?
Oh, boy. Okay.
Good thing it's Friday.
That's right. And liquor stores are essential businesses, motherfucker. So there we go.
There you go.
And on that note.
Bye.
On that note.
Sleep well, Jay.
Good night.
Good night.